Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Excited to be in church? Excited? I'm excited. I don't know why I pronounced it like that, but I just thought I'd keep going. Why not? God's got a word for you today, I believe. It's going to help you. It's going to speak to you, and it's going to open your eyes up a little bit. And normally I have like a really good structure to everything, and it's real, like it's going to be easy to follow, and there's good structure. But what I've found today, I'm just going to preach the word, okay? So I got a lot of scripture, and I'm hoping, who brought their Bibles to church? Who brought them along? Toby, I see that Bible waving around. That's good. Yeah, I love that. See you in the back with your Bible. Bring your Bibles to church. It'll help. Who brought their notepads as well? Because iPhone notes. That's good. Back them up on the cloud because, you know, you want them to last. It's going to be a good day. I know it's going to be a good message because I had a helper don't show the picture yet, but I had a helper preparing. Yes, it was the Holy Spirit. He was helping me out. But I also had another helper that we can show that little picture on there. Aw. For anyone listening on the podcast, there's a picture of my dog Riley reading the Bible, and he's in deep thought of the power of the word of the Lord that he's just... You know, the Bible says, train them up in the ways of the Lord when they're young, and they shall not depart from it. So I just trained my... Whenever I would pray, Riley would come sit beside me, and he would pray. And then what happened this time is... when he was young, I was training him when he was young, so he shall not depart from it. I went to get a water, and I came back, and he's just sitting in front of my Bible. So it's going to be a Riley good message this morning. Oh, hopefully it's not a rough message, right? Hey-o! Okay. There we go. Dad jokes, they're appropriate for Father's Day, right? Alex is leaving. He's offended. Alex is a comedian, so he doesn't realize yet that puns are the greatest form of humor. he's so upset. I love it. Can we have fun in church? Is that all right? Good. I love it. Thank you. So I am Greg. I did say that, and I'm stoked that you're here, and I believe that God's going to speak to you this morning. We're in the middle of this message on series on purpose. And who's been loving our purpose series so far? That's good. That was a strategically timed question so I could take a sip of water. But the whole goal is that you were designed with intent and with reason and with purpose. And over the last week and the next couple weeks, we're going to help you fine-tune that. That why am I here? What has God made me to do? And how am I meant to walk it out? Because we often, I think, get caught up in like, I think I'm doing the right things, but I don't know if I'm walking the right way. Or maybe you're here and like I've been in my past, is like, I feel like I'm functioning in my gifts. I feel like I'm functioning in my quote-unquote call, in my reason to be here, but I always leave exhausted when I function in that thing. I never feel like I'm finding fulfillment in this career path or in this. Maybe my purpose is to love my family, and I love my family, but there's an element missing. And I'm believing that element's going to show up for you. Maybe you're a CEO of a business. You've got everything that the world would want and need. You got a successful business. You got people reporting to you. But you know that there's a gap somewhere. And you're like, this feels like purpose, but it feels like something's missing. And I'm going to help reveal, I believe God's going to help reveal that missing something this morning. The title of the message is The Most Excellent Way. And ultimately, the most excellent way, and I already prayed, so the intro's over, okay? And I'm just going to preach, like I said. The most excellent way is love. I believe mankind was designed for love. Jesus told this dude who came up to him and said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second is this, to love others as yourself. He's like, I only asked for one. But Jesus doesn't only give us what we ask for. He always gives us more, right? But our purpose is centered around love. Loving God, loving others, and loving yourself. And if you don't have all three of those functioning, I believe you won't genuinely discover the God purpose in your world. If you're not in love with God, if you're not using your purpose to love others, and if you're not genuinely realizing that you have something to give, that you have a gift to bring, then you won't find your purpose. It's centered around love. So I'm preaching out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and so maybe you want to flip there, and I will pray, because you need time to get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's right after the book of Romans. It's like this far through the Bible, if you're looking. Let me pray. God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you that you're good. I thank you that you're mighty. I thank you that you love us. Help me today to deliver your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, are you there yet? Keep turning. It's on the screen. If you're not there yet, it will be there. And like I said, I got a bit, so you can start writing stuff down even as I'm going, because I'm just going to go for it. And might not be bullet point one, bullet point two, bullet point three, but it's going to help you. And there will be nice fine-tuned bullet points with bows tied on them at the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the word of the Lord says, starting in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them, not some of them, all of them, in all people, in all men. I love that it doesn't say that the same God works all of them for the people who believe. He doesn't say, God, the same God who designed different people and different purposes and different parts, so I am uniquely me and you are uniquely you, because that's the way that God created you, but he works together all things for all people. Regardless of level of belief, he's still gifted you. Regardless of level of how much you trust him, God still designed you with purpose and intent. And I think that it is critical to fall in love with Jesus. Like I said, love God, love people, love yourself. This stuff is critical in fine-tuning your purpose. But if you feel like, I don't yet love God, I'm not yet praying for 4 hours a day, I'm not yet worshiping in my bedroom in all hours of the day, therefore I'm not designed with purpose, that ain't the case. You're designed with purpose exactly where you're at. God works uniquely in all things for all people. That's pretty good news, right? Say, I'm designed on purpose. All right. So now, to each one of them, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Some versions say for the profit of all. So the reason isn't just for me, it's for someone else's profit. That's pretty key point, that my gifts, my purpose, my calling is not for me. It's for somebody else. To one, there's given the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, knowledge, means, great gifts. Another, faith by the same Spirit. Another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. Miraculous powers, all this wonderful stuff going down to verse 11. And all of these things are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. I don't determine it. He determines it. Just because I say I'm not of value doesn't mean I'm not of value. Because God's already determined the gifts and purposes that are inside of me. God has chosen and set apart the gifts and purposes inside of you. He's already determined it. Moving along. Keep going. Right? Isn't the word of the Lord helpful? I love the Bible. Read your Bible. You just get, like, if you feel like he skipped a bunch of verses, it's okay. Go home, read it on your own, and study it. Because I'm picking out the most important ones. No, I'm kidding. Most important ones don't exist, okay? Verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. How often do you and I do this? Because I don't have that gift mix, I mustn't belong here. Because I can't worship the way that Matt Simmons worships, which is incredible. Who loves Matt Simmons worship leading? Because I don't have that gift mix, I mustn't belong. Because I can't preach the way the preacher preaches, I mustn't belong in this place. Because I can't function in the way that I see my boss at work function, I just wish I was that good at what they do. But God hasn't designed you that way. Someone else is looking at you and saying, I wish I was as good as Ben at sweeping the stairs. I wish I had the heart of that person when I was serving in that way. How do they do what people are looking at you and wondering the same thing you're wondering when you're looking at them? Because you belong. You were created with purpose, and God designed you with intent. It would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Because in verse 18, it says, God, in fact, has arranged the body parts, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. You're the way that God wanted you to be. God doesn't make mistakes. I look at myself sometimes and I think, there's this wrong with me. And like, it's okay to think that you need to change, because I know I need to change. I know I'm on the process of transformation. But how often do we discredit the very thing that God put in us for a reason? We discredit the way that we relate to people, the way that we, it's like, the way that people, I wish they would understand the Bible, but at the same time, like, I wish I wasn't so frustrated to see people living contrary to the word, because then I could just be so much more relatable. I wish it didn't frustrate me to see when people are walking away that doesn't please God according to his word. I wish I could just be more lovable. I wish I could be more, I wish I could, like, just get in their world and brush that stuff aside. But God designed you to be that way, because he wants you to grow people, and he wants you to teach people, and he wants you to build people in love. So you don't need to evangelize to them and love them in the way someone else loves them. You need to love them in the way you were designed to love, because every one of us was made differently. And I am the way that God wanted me to be. And you are the way that God wanted you to be. So let's discover that today. Let's keep going, right? Who loves the Bible? If we were all one part, where would the body be? Wouldn't it be funny if it was just like an arm walking around on stage, waving to everybody? An eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts that seem weaker and seem indispensable, la, 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 keep going. Read verses 21 to 26. If you're not sure about your placement, this will help you, but I'm not doing that today. I'm here to help you in a different way. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. Say, I'm part of it. The church God has appointed, first apostles, prophets, evangelists, workers of miracles, all this stuff, eagerly desire the greatest gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. Everyone say, the most excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in tongues of men, of angels, and I have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. And we do this. We try to seek knowledge. We try to seek understanding. We want to unpackage scripture. We want to fine-tune our purpose and our gifts. But the Bible tells us that if we don't function out of love, it's totally worthless. God has designed you and I for love. God has designed you and I for loving Him, loving others, and loving ourselves. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, loves, does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. All this other stuff will fail because it's only in part. And verse 10, when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. My goodness, the word is good. Point one, I'm there. You probably already have so many notes because you're like, man, that was incredible. It's just the word of the Lord. I'm not even preaching yet. I'm just reading the Bible. Point one, the most excellent way is in you. Love, the most excellent way is in you. God put love inside every one of us in the way that He designed us. So the gifts that He's put in you, the personality that He created you with, was created with love. You were designed to love yourself. Now, I'm not saying you were designed to be an arrogant jerk who is narcissistic and like, I'm the best, nobody else matters. But I'm convinced that you will never have the capacity to truly love others unless you first recognize that I am created with purpose and intent. That as David said in Psalm 139, that I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God knew what He was doing when He put you and I together. He did it with intent. And how shameful, how foolish, how unwise it would be for me to discredit the very thing that God made by looking at myself and wishing I was something different. But I do it all the time. I wish I could lead the way Pastor Jerry leads. I wish I could play instruments the way Amanda plays instruments. I wish I could raise up team the way Marie raises up team. And I'm looking to all these different sources to find my gift rather than the very source who put it in me, which is God Himself. And God wants you to love you. He wants you to realize that you were made with purpose and intent. You don't get to decide whether or not you belong. You don't get to decide whether or not you have value, because it says in 1 Corinthians 12, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't stop being part of the body. The foot doesn't get to say, because I'm not this way, I don't belong. And you and I don't get to say, because I'm not this way, I mustn't belong in God's plan and His purpose, because He already decided you belong. Say, I belong. You matter. Your giftings matter. And so we need to get over ourselves and begin to love ourselves in the name of Jesus. Because God loves you. And how could we not love what God loves? How could we not love what He created, what He put together, what He had intent when He made? And He made you and I. And we often want to be different than we are. And it's good to, like I said, have a desire to grow and to change and to shift. That's important. But don't discredit the inherent gifts that are inside of you. If you're meant to teach, find ways that you can teach. If you're meant to be an encourager, if you've always got something nice to say about people, then say something nice about those people. It's like, oh, it just sounds like it has no meaning. Well, pray to God, ask Him to fill you with the meaning, give you the meaning, and then speak it out. Because the encourager is meant to encourage, and the teacher is meant to teach, and the apostle is meant to take ground. So if you're feeling frustrated that people aren't growing, help them grow. Don't discredit yourself. Love yourself. We get convinced otherwise by culture often. People around our world convince us that we don't have the right methods or the right plans or the right ways because we're not doing it their way. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I start to believe it. I used to have this neighbor, bless his heart. His name was Mr. Oliver. Happy Father's Day. He was like the dad of the neighborhood. We used to have the neighbor because we moved away because he didn't like us. No, not really. We moved to the East End because we loved the East End. But we moved into Toronto, and we moved in two doors down from Mr. Oliver, and we came out like our second day. Well, actually, would be like eighth day because we landed here, then went to Vegas for 10 days, and then came back. Anyways, we went outside after C3 conference. Yeah, don't worry. We weren't going to Vegas to do something wild. Vanessa and I are taking in this new community. We're like, yeah, this is nice. Then Mr. Oliver walks up. He's like, oh, new neighbors. Hello, new neighbors. Yes, yes. Oh, welcome. Yeah. Portuguese, Italian, Portuguese. Portuguese, Italian, you guys. He's like painting a picture. You don't belong here. You white. That's what he said. It's like, yes, we are. Thank you for the friendly welcome to the neighborhood. But he was a kind man. The communication gap was there. It was evident. But it was evident that we didn't look like everybody else in the neighborhood. But that was all right because we were meant to be there. I knew we were meant to be there. Every time I'm doing work on the lawn or I'm doing work in the garage, I remember Pastor Sam and I were insulating my garage. Mr. Oliver would call, because he was retired, so he didn't work. He would always watch. He's like the neighborhood dad. He's watching. And we're insulating our garage, and he comes up and his arms are crossed. He's like, not like this. Not like this. I'm like, dude, I'm an engineer. I understand thermodynamics. I understand how to insulate a garage, okay? Like, we got to have a storage space for our gear at church, and I want to insulate the garage, right? So I'm putting insulation and then poly. It is like this. Not like this. Guess what? After we were done, the garage was nice and toasty during the wintertime. I could have convinced myself that because he's telling me this isn't the way it's supposed to be, I must be wrong. And forget about the fact that God has given me a brain that works out the way that things should work out and works out the right way to do because I'm a problem solver. It might not be the way he would have solved the problem, but it was the way that I was meant to solve the problem. And don't let culture convince you that you're not going about it the right way. If it's the way that God's given you, love it, walk it out, and see transformation happen. Because God designed you with purpose and intent. So somebody knocks you down, get back up. Somebody tells you you're worthless. Prove them wrong. Not in an arrogant way, but no, I have worth inside of me because I'm a created being. God made me for a reason. Step up and find value in yourself because God put it there. Mankind, we try to look for value in order to love, but God loves because he created value. His love creates and instills value in us. So it's not about being arrogant. It's not about being all me, all me, all me, but it's about realizing that I'm created for a reason, and that reason is to help other people. You were created with purpose and intent to love others. Yes, love yourself in order that you can love others. Which brings me to the second point, which is the way, or the most excellent way, is through you. So the way is in you, God's love is in you, but God's love is also through you. You were gifted not just for you. I've been gifted not just for me and my life and my story, but I've been gifted for the sake of others. Because God is desperate to reach Toronto. God is desperate to reach Canada. God is desperate to reach the entire globe, and he chooses to use you and I. He chooses to use us to love people in the way that we've been designed to love people in order that more people could come to know him. Say, I was designed with reason. For others. You are called to be a river and not a swamp. Your gifting is never meant to end with just you. My gifting and my abilities are never meant for my sake. They're for the sake of others. To each one, the manifest, 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all, not just for me. Say, it's not for me. So if you want to find fulfillment, if you want to find vision, if you want to find reason in your purpose, then make sure that it's for the profit of all. If you're a leader in an organization and a CEO, consider, how am I building people that are working with me? How am I serving those that are under me? If you are a mom who's raising kids, that is incredible. Who are you teaching to live the way that you're living? Who are you building into? Because God made you capable of facing this thing so that you could teach others that they're capable to face this thing. It's never just about me. In fact, I would go as far as to say that it's impossible to find fulfillment in a purpose that's centered on me. That you could never find true fulfillment in something that only serves you. And I try to do it all the time. It's like, if I can get enough dollars in my bank account, if I can have enough friends that I can invite into my homes, and it's all this me-centered business, and it's like, why am I not being filled by this stuff? It's because I'm meant to look outwards. God has called us to look outwards, to build one another up. And I realized this when I started to focus my Christianity and my journey with God on others. And so I invite people to church every single week. And do they ever come? Not really. But does that mean I stop inviting? Heck no. God designed you for others. Your relationship with God isn't just for you. You think of who you can be inviting. Like a clanging gong, but then attach love to it. So it's not a clanging gong. But invite people into your world. Invite people into church. Invite people into a journey with God that you're on, because you're not just designed for you. We can become fat Christians, not pH fat, not cool, but like all about filling ourselves. This revelation I got, this has helped me so much. Use that revelation to help others. When I started to focus on my friends and my coworkers, I then started to grow, because it forced me to think, I can't just give them the same things over and over. I got to show that this is actually benefiting my world. So I had to go back to the source that benefits my world, which was God. And it forced me to grow. Ephesians 4 verse 16 says that he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So your growth helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And this concept can get a bit twisted, and I'm about to land so the keys can come up. It can get a bit shifted around, is that we start to focus on others, but ultimately to build our purpose. Like, we start to invest in others so that they can meet our needs and our purposes and our roles that we need them to fill. And so we start speaking to, like, to use the whole body illustration, we start to speak to a foot as if it's a hand, because we just really need a hand where we're at. And so it's like, I'm encouraging them to be the hand that they were made to. Sometimes we neglect going to God and asking him, what is this person? What is their gift mix, and how can I encourage them? So it's like, you're a hand, you're such a hand, you keep functioning. Like, high five, high five. That's what hands do. Hands are just there to high. No, they're to do work, but they're not meant to function in that way. And we think that we're loving them, but we're not truly loving them, because we haven't asked God, how do you love them? How have you designed them? Because what happens is, because God loves us, when we go to him, he tells us who we truly are. That means, because we love others, we go to him to tell them who they truly are. We don't necessarily need to look at what we need. We need to look at what they're meant to do and encourage them in that. Because it can get... I'll skip that. But the whole thing, the whole deal in all of this is that you can never encourage someone in the way that they're created without knowing the one who created them. You can't do it outside context of knowing Jesus.
which is the third thought, is that the way is for you. God is for you. His love is for you, and you need to fall in love with him again. We need to realize first and foremost that we can't sufficiently love others. We can't even sufficiently love ourselves if we don't love him. I remember when I was falling in love with Vanessa a week ago. We're still falling in love. 9 years married. No. But when we were first dating, and it's like falling in love. Oh, what a funny saying. But it's like we would stay up. Christian couples, don't model this, okay? We would stay up way later than we should have been staying up. We didn't sleep over or anything, but we were driving. I remember driving home in like minus 20, because Alberta is the frozen Arctic. It's minus 20 outside, and I got the windows rolled down and my head's out the window, because I wanted to stay as late as my body would allow me to. But we need to do that with God, I feel like. We need to get to a point where it's like, I'm so desperate to spend time with him that I'm willing to go through anything. I'm willing to like force myself to stay up another hour to be with him, because I just want him to fill me. I just want to fall in love with him. I just want to be ecstatic about him, because he lights up our purpose when we find him in that way. He gives us reason and strength to walk through what we need to walk through, because there's going to be challenges in walking out your purpose. I found challenges in walking out my purpose, and it can become so circumstantial. When it gets hard, I'm going to step away. When it gets hard, I'm going to back off. But if I find intimacy and love with God, he encourages me. No, this is the way that I've created you. You need to keep stepping forward. You need to keep pressing forward, because I will never give you something that you can't face. You will never bear a temptation that you can't conquer. And you will never fight against something that you can't win without him. And so your purpose is no longer circumstantial when you're going to the one who created your purpose. We need to fall in love with God all over again so that he can fill us with purpose. And I'm telling you, he is here this morning for you. God is in this place for you. And so as we come to the end here, I just want to pray with some people. And maybe you're here and you've never even had a relationship with God before. I'm telling you, this is the beginning point in finding your purpose, is beginning that relationship. Maybe you're here in this place and you've had a relationship with him in the past, but you've left it by the wayside. You're actually feeling like loving yourself, loving others is becoming really difficult. It's because you need to refocus your love to him to begin with. And I'm going to ask you in a moment to just lift up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I'm not looking to single anybody out. I'm not looking to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to call you out to the front. But I just would love for you to lift up your hand and say, yeah, that's me, so I can include you in a prayer. So if everyone could just quickly close your eyes and bow your head. And if you're either of those people, you've never known God before and you want to start a relationship with him, or you've known him in the past, but you know you need to recommit your life to him. Can I ask you, could you just quickly slip up your hand for me so I can pray with you?